Some people need no introduction. Nevertheless, and our time is short, so I'm only going to say a couple words, one of which is to say that Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton has built her name and reputation fighting for social justice. She has been our ally in any number of fights, whether it's for children, whether it's to increase America's commitment against global AIDS, whether it's to protect women's reproductive rights. But one thing that I don't know whether all the New Yorkers in the room know, but I think all of us know, is that she's been a longtime friend of the reform movement. Her speech at the on healthcare at the 1993 San Francisco Biennial was a riveting, riveting and inspiring memory for many of us. It's also the source of many recriminations in my household because I got on the wrong line and we wound up in the room where she was on a screen, not in person. But in any event, we are certainly honored by her presence here today, so please join me in welcoming her.
Much, Bob. I probably just should give that same speech again because we finally have a moment, and I hope that we seize it over the next several years finally to achieve universal health care coverage in America. I am delighted to be here again, and I thank Bob and I thank all of you. The Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism plays an important role in the lives of the congregations represented here and the individuals who are a part of this movement, and also here in Washington. And I particularly want to thank my longtime friend and your leader here in Washington, David Saperstein. And no one can squeeze more into a day or into a conversation than David. Sometimes we do events on the Hill together and we walk back, and by the time I get to my building where my office is here at the Russell Senate Office Building, I'm exhausted. But I've got my marching orders, and I know what I'm supposed to do. And for that, I'm very grateful to you, David. I also want to acknowledge Rabbi Yaffe, who couldn't be here because of the death of his father. But I appreciate his leadership as well. I remember when my husband honored David's 25th anniversary with the RAC. When Bill spoke, it was just a few days after the killings at Columbine. As we gather here today, we have just been shocked and saddened by another horrific tragedy at Virginia Tech. And my prayers, and I know all of yours, are with the victims and their families and with that educational community. There are no words that can adequately describe the anguish that fills the hearts of mothers and fathers who receive word about the death of their loved one who was pursuing educational studies, or for all of those who will be impacted so grievously by this tragedy. But I know that our hearts go out to everyone. I want to also thank you for including me in this consultation on conscience. This Congress has begun with a new mandate. You might say that the American people in November had a consultation with their conscience. And we now have an opportunity to move an agenda forward with a Democratic Congress, and we need your help. You know, the RAC has been an instrumental player going back so many years with your 900 congregations, your 1.5 million members. You can set the tone and push us to do what you know we need to do. It's not only that you've been a defender of American values, but have transcended human values. You were giving voice to the voiceless when you helped to foster the civil rights victories of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. You stood up and made your voices heard when we were against apartheid in South Africa and working on behalf of Soviet Jewry. Today, you are once again fighting to end the genocide in Darfur so that we honor each other as children of God. And I am grateful to you for that. We need to get those values and that sense of conscience back into American politics. It is long, long. And of course, while you are here, I know that you are voicing your concerns about Iraq. You have joined the call to oppose this escalation that the president is carrying out and to begin a phased redeployment. I was in Iraq in January where I spoke with our commanders and soldiers on the ground as well as representatives of the Iraqi government. I came back even more determined to stop this escalation and start the redeployment. I introduced legislation called the Iraq Troop Reduction and Protection Act. I want to cap the number of troops at the level of January 1st and make it against the law to send more troops to Iraq. I want to protect our troops so that if they are sent, they have all of the equipment and training necessary, like body armor and armored vehicles. It is a disgrace that we are still sending our young men and women into harm's way without giving them the protection that they need. I want to end the blank check the Bush administration has written to the Iraqis by setting real benchmarks for progress and applying pressure to end the sectarian violence and to find a political solution. If the Iraqis want our continued presence and our funding in any form whatsoever, it is time for them to start earning it. Fourth, I would call an international conference immediately among Iraq's neighbors who have a role to play and a stake in forging a stable future for Iraq. And it is absolutely hard to explain to anyone how we have an administration that will not talk to those with whom we are in disagreement. You do not try to forge agreements with those whom you already agree with. All during the Cold War, we talked to the Soviet Union. We never stopped talking. We had so many differences. They had thousands of missiles pointed at us. They had leaders who said they were going to bury us. We need to gain leverage against our adversaries. We need to understand who's making decisions that we can possibly influence and change. So I would hope that the international conference would include the neighbors and would be led by an American diplomat who could begin to hammer out some of the tough decisions that confront us and them. And finally, I would begin to deploy our troops out of Iraq. I've been pushing for this for 2 years. It is past time that it begin. So this bill and what we're trying to do in the Democratic Congress under Speaker Pelosi's leadership, under Harry Reid's leadership, is to have a roadmap out of Iraq. Sadly, by all accounts, the president has no intention of listening to the bipartisan, overwhelming chorus for change. He's threatened to veto the will of the American people. So let me be clear. If this president doesn't end this war and bring home our troops as soon as possible, I know the next president will immediately. Briefly mention just a few other issues. On health care, please, please help us be the conscience on this. It's not only the right thing to do to make sure every American has access to quality, affordable health care. It is the smart thing to do. We spend more money than anyone in the world, and we do not get the best results for it. So we can not only cover the 47 million uninsured, we can end the incredibly difficult choices that face those who have insurance except when they really need it, and they're told by their insurance company that they will not pay for the treatment and the intervention that their doctor has prescribed. It is time for us to do better. On stem cells, stay with us. We're making progress. We passed legislation in the Senate just last week. We know that even within this administration, there is a strong desire on the part of the professionals and the scientists to pursue stem cell research. The director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Zerhouni, just has gone on record supporting expanded access to new lines of embryonic stem cells. So we need your help to override a veto if that is what we are confronted with. And finally, let me just say, because I know the speaker is waiting to speak to you, and we're so proud of her and what a great job she is doing in leading the House. That we have an opportunity during this period of a Democratic majority to make progress on some of the issues that I have briefly referred to that are part of your agenda here with this consultation on conscience. And we have the opportunity to stop more bad things from happening. But we need more Republicans to stand with us. We need more who will come with us in the Senate to avoid a filibuster. Please, those of you from states where you have Republican senators with whom you have relationships, please begin to talk to them about Iraq, about stem cells, about health care, and about so much else, because we can make progress even under the administration that we currently have. And then I'm hoping that as a result of the 08 election, we'll have even more Democrats in the House and the Senate, and we can get back to doing the work that makes us proud to be Americans here at home and around the world. Thank you all very much.